This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
David Cobb is a college basketball and college football writer for CBS Sports. He's on X at David W. Cobb. He's also a role player here, 92.9 FM ESPN, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company. David, how's it going?
Hey, man, it's going pretty well. Hanging in there. Another good weekend of college football in the books and an even better one on deck this weekend. So, yeah, man, things are good in our world. How are things for you?
Oh, going well. Going well. I did nothing this weekend besides I went down to Tunica from 12 to 3 for our trivia at Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. Then I watched a lot of ball, and it was pretty rewarding. Really, really fun week six, even though it didn't look like that on the surface, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you just Miami and Florida State game looked good on the surface. I guess the Vandy Alabama game looked good on the surface, but we had some nice little upsets there in the top 10. Penn State goes down, and of course Texas goes down, which we kind of call it on this show here.
Oh yeah, and you know everybody wants to dog CBS. Oh my gosh, I can't believe CBS got stuck with Penn State UCLA. What a horrible game! Oh man, don't you miss the SEC? And okay, yeah, I do kind of miss the SEC, but Penn State, UCLA, wow. I mean, upset of the season so far. Just a wild game, too. I mean, UCLA gets out in front. Penn State comes back, can't get over the hump. All played in front of an empty stadium. It was crazy. There was practically a Rick Neuheisel camera the entire game.
There should be.
You know,
Jerry called a hell of a game.
He did. I mean, at first I thought I was watching Draco Malfoy calling the plays, and then I realized – then I realized who it was. It was fun. It was a fun game. And, you know, that at the end of the day, like, say all you will about Nico and Nico's dad and all that stuff, but like, I appreciated seeing the young man have a good time, you know, and having his little moment there.
Yeah, he got the "for he's a jolly good fellow," lift off the – they took him off the field, his team.
They did.
That was fun. That was fun. And by the way, just sidebar before we get into that game, and I take my licks because of my Penn State preseason suggestions. Besides the long hair, Rick and Jerry look like the exact and act like the exact same person. I don't know if you've seen any old clips of like Rick Neuheisel pressers and how he used to carry himself. They are almost the exact same.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
That is his son for sure. Like, there's no doubts.
Well, and so when I was covering the Grizzlies, I had the J.B. Bickerstaff year. So that was the year when they ended up trading Mark, and they started hot, and then they faded or whatever. And so I wrote this story about, like, J.B. kind of following in his father's footsteps as a NBA head coach. And he told me one time that, like, sometimes I watch old clips of my dad, and I feel like I'm in those insurance commercials where you're becoming your parents.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because you recognize your mannerisms as belonging to your parents. And that's a weird reality when that finally happens. Because, you know, for a lot of us when we're younger, we're like, oh, I want to be anything like my parents. But then it happens. It happens to all of us in some respects. Yeah, so I'm with you there. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, all right. Now, Penn State gets down 42-37, really 42-35 without UCLA taking a safety with, what, 18 seconds to go. But I think the question I have to ask is what now with James Franklin? He had one of the most brave tweets I've ever seen, his game week tweet about Northwestern, Northwestern, Northwestern. We need to go 1-0. But they sit there at 3-2 outside of the AP top 25 after a loss against an 0-4 UCLA team. That's only the third loss that an AP top 10 team has taken to an 0-4 team since 1950. So what now? For James Franklin. The Oregon loss, that was just more of what we knew about him, confirming our biases or not, confirming what we already knew about him against good teams. But this was a bad team he lost to. So holler at me. What now?
You know, it almost feels like it's run the table or it's done sort of thing. And I don't necessarily think that they would fire James Franklin. I don't know what that buyout figure is, Gabe, off the top of my head, but I'd imagine it's north of $40 million. And his performance overall has not warranted a firing, especially not at that price tag. But he is just another example now after this past week of coaches who it just feels like it's run its course. I mean, there's so many right now around college football where it just feels like, thank you for what you did, but it has run its course. And it's not to the Mike Gundy Oklahoma State level, where you make an early season or mid-season move. But this feels like an inflection point in the James Franklin tenure because, yeah, the noise was what it was after you lost to Oregon. But, okay, you lost to Oregon. Losing to UCLA, it's got to be – I can't imagine there's been a worse loss for Penn State under James Franklin. I mean, that UCLA team is awful. And now it's like, all right, if you don't run the table, which would require winning on the road against Ohio State, you know, what are we doing here? I mean, it's run its course. You're not improving any longer. Your performance on the whole isn't horrible, but it's Penn State, man. Once every 15 years, at least, you got to rise up and do something spectacular, and they have failed to do that. So, but what's the exit ramp? It's the same question that Kentucky is asking with Mark Stoops. It's the same question USC will probably be asking with Lincoln Riley here in a couple weeks. The same question LSU fans are going to be asking with Brian Kelly here in a couple of weeks, where it's like, man, this isn't just awful, and you've done some good things, but we're not making progress anymore. And there's a lot of programs around the country that are in that boat, and I didn't expect to get here this soon with Penn State.
Yeah, neither did I. You know what I said in the preseason? I thought of them as 2023 Michigan. I think most people did to a certain extent with all the guys they had coming back.
You talked me into it. I was right there with you.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of funny. I think the narrative that was created was, okay, if this team's going to fall short, Drew Aller is going to be one of the culprits or the main culprit. An untimely turnover or just bad production. I thought he was fine in this game in the least of their problems. Their defense that they spent $3 million on with Jim Knowles coming over from Ohio State. I mean, how did they play so poorly? With a quarterback who clearly has lost some confidence, having lost to New Mexico and to UNLV, and a coordinator who has had the job for 6 days at this moment, had 4 days to game plan, prep, and play with that quarterback. And he's 32 years old. It's the first game he's ever called as an offensive coordinator. Like, I don't know how their defense strayed so far from the norm on Saturday.
Oh, that's absolutely the most disappointing part of this whole season for Penn State. And if you listen to James Franklin, it was like, well, maybe if Tony Rojas had been healthy, he could have spied Nico. You know, I mean, that was the deal. Nico killed him with his legs. Yep. I mean, it's the same game plan Tennessee tried to use against Ohio State in the college football playoff. Like, all right, what have we got to lose? We're paying this guy a crap ton of money. We're just going to run him to death. And it really worked out nicely for UCLA. I mean, Nico was. It's interesting. I think Nico is a different sort of quarterback than maybe what we originally expected. Because when he is willing to run or put in a situation where he has to run, it makes him a far more effective player because it keeps the defenses honest. and he can do it. It doesn't look like he runs hard, but he's so tall and lanky that he takes these long strides. And I don't know what those conversations were like or what that game plan was like, but you know, Tennessee was always hesitant to do that. Nico never looked willing to run. And then everything with UCLA this season up to this point had just been so disjointed. But yeah, I mean, you got to give your credit to Jerry Neuheisel for the game plan that he put together. And it's just an embarrassing result for that Penn State defense and for Jim Knowles. Cause I mean, you lost Tom Allen, who's a pretty dang good defensive coordinator. And you thought you were upgraded by hiring Jim Knowles from Ohio State. Oh yeah. By the way, meanwhile, Ohio State's defense without Jim Knowles, no one has even scored 10 points on Ohio State yet this season. And yet here, Penn State is getting carved up by UCLA. So, I mean, if you're Ohio State, you're Ryan Day, you're just sitting back and cracking up when you look at this box score. Because, I mean, everybody thought you were worse for the wear for having lost that guy. And then, meanwhile, he's gone to your cross-conference rival and is kind of bottoming out here.
Yep. All right, now get to the other one. Florida beat Texas 29-21. I want to ask you this, though. You saw this coming, because I think we talked about this last week. Florida's defense is good. The reason they have struggled is because offensively DJ Lagway hasn't played up to snuff. But then you look at that Texas team, and their defense is good, haven't quite taken that step to great, and their offense has struggled mightily with Arch Manning. I thought he flashed a little bit more, even though he threw a couple of nasty picks. But you saw this coming, right?
Well, I had the courage to pick Florida against the spread, but I picked Texas straight up, and I obviously regret that. You know, it's like, dang, if you got the courage to pick a team plus 6.5 at home, just go all the way.
Right.
That's the lesson. Just go all the way and pick them to win. And obviously, yeah, I should have had a little more faith. I mean, honestly, it wouldn't have been faith in Florida. I mean, that's not what it would have been. It would have been a real lack of faith or serious doubt in Texas, because that was Texas's first game against a Power Four opponent since they went to the Horseshoe in week one. And the questions were not altogether answered during that month in between. They played three patsies. Arch was pretty bad in two of those three games. But I think what surprised me more than anything, because at this point, Arch is what he is, which is just a below average Power Four quarterback. But what surprised me more than anything was Texas' total lack of ability to even try to run the football traditionally. And then the defense that got carved up more than I mean, DJ Lagway looked better against Texas than he has against pretty much anyone else. And that's really concerning, because that Florida offense has been out of sync. They've been behind the sticks all season long. They failed to execute in critical short yardage situations. And against Texas, those things weren't as big of an issue. So that's, you know, everybody wants to talk Arch, Arch, Arch. And
right.
Like, sure, that's a huge part of it. Now, I'm not absolving him at all. But what's so bizarre about the whole Texas situation is that their issues run so much deeper.
Their
and,
offensive line,
you know,
is horrible. It was horrible on Saturday night.
No doubt. So, you know, it really begs the question, like, who in the SEC is great? And I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, but 26 carries for 53 yards is all they could muster running the ball, Texas, that is. And Arch was sacked 6 times for 36 yards. That tells me, hey, offensive line, let's kick this thing into gear as we get into the heart of SEC play, or it's going to be ugly. It's going to get really ugly. And can I – what do you think of Sark as a coach? Because I see I did a blind resume earlier with Jimbo Fisher at A&M, and it's just about the same. Jimbo Fisher actually has more top 10 wins, same amount of number one recruiting classes. I have always thought this. I have always thought that Sark has been a bit overrated as a head coach, especially at Texas.
Well, he did a great job last season. I mean,
sure.
First year in the SEC, to do what he did first year in that league is pretty impressive. So I give him his flowers for that. Because, I mean, okay, like I get where you're going with the Jimbo comparison, and that is a pretty sort of shocking realization when you put them side by side. Jimbo's best work came during the COVID year in 2020. So I give Sark his credit for first year in the SEC being so good at Texas. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's supposed to be an offensive guru, right? And you don't see it. It's not showing up this year. And was he so blind? Like, was he just blinded by the recruiting hype the same way all of us were with Arch Manning? Because you would have thought that by year three, and this is year three for Arch in that program, that he would have had a better understanding of his quarterback's strengths and weaknesses.
Yep.
And that doesn't seem to be the case. I mean, you correctly point out the offensive line struggles. They've been very, very poor. Archer also holds the football for way too long.
Yeah. He's always second late on his throws, too. Like that dig that he threw directly to the safety, he was late on that, and he sailed it, but still, late.
Yeah, and he's trying to get too Mahomesy with like some of the arm slots and stuff. And
yeah.
I don't know, man. It's just bizarre. At this point, I don't know. Is Arch Manning going to be Texas's quarterback next season? I genuinely don't know. I mean, you're Texas. This is Texas we're talking about. I don't care if you're – you know, I mean, literally, you're football royalty, you're Arch Manning, but it's Texas. Like, you can't continue to run the product into the ground and just run it back. I mean, I don't know what that divorce might look like, but, you know, this is clearly going nowhere for Arch Manning and for Texas.
And this was a smaller part of the game itself, but on that final drive, you notice Arch Manning takes a nasty sack, his helmet comes off, and then Matt Caldwell, their backup, came in for one play.
Through a dime.
Through a dot for 26 yards. I mean, yeah. I know that's a tiny little sample size, but if I'm Sark, I'm at least thinking about it. Does this guy give us a better chance to win game in, game out with his experience than Arch does? And it's hard for me to believe that he, without question, doesn't. I think he's played enough ball, Matt Caldwell has, to, you know, potentially take over.
Well, and we've seen enough of Arch to where, okay, Ohio State, bad performance, you excuse it as early season jitters, you know, whatever. Continued struggles, maybe it's the offensive line, the receivers got to get on the same page. We're out of excuses now. And we're also to a point in Texas's schedule where it's not getting any easier. Pretty much every team they're going to play from here on out is as good as Florida, if not better. Some of those games will be at home. But it's not like, oh, well, if he could just get right against these other couple little patsy teams, you know, maybe they'll be fine. That's what the last month was supposed to be. And it didn't fix it. It didn't resolve their issues. So yeah, it's bizarre. And I was so surprised. I don't know if it's moved at all in the last 24 hours, but when I looked yesterday, Texas actually opened as a favorite against Oklahoma. And I mean, that shocked me because I mean, that Oklahoma defensive front is filthy. I mean, they could get home on Arch, sack him, you know, seven or eight times if they play the way they did at Florida.
Yeah. They're at home though. So I think that may shift it a little bit, but Florida, Billy Napier, I said it earlier. He turns into Bill Napier when he has his back against the wall. He's making it impossible for Florida to just outright fire him in the middle of the season. He did it last year, and I don't know if he'll do it this year. You still have at A&M coming up. Then you're going to have Georgia, Ole Miss down the stretch, Tennessee, Florida State. But whenever his back's against the wall, he tends to churn out a pretty resounding, solid win, this time against number 9 Texas.
So, yeah, are they going to find a way to go 7-5, and then they're going to say, "Well, the schedule was so hard that 7-5 is actually pretty good. Let's run it back." Because I mean, I've seen enough, man. Like, I don't need any more sample size.
I agree, but he tends to get to this losing record. He's under 500, and he springs a couple of upsets and keeps that team believing, which is probably the hardest thing to do with this Florida team.
I mean, I think Florida's issues are more organizational than they are talent or buy-in. Like, it seems like they've always played hard for Napier. It seems like they've gotten their recruiting in order. Because you remember at the beginning, right, when they were trying to recruit Jaden Rashada and they couldn't get their collective situation in order and it was a whole mess. It feels like they've got that resolved. They've got the personnel stuff worked out. They've got enough talent, buy-in from the roster. Like, all that squared away. I mean, I think it's mostly an organizational issue where Billy Napier needs help on game day. He needs to give up play calling. He needs to hire an offensive coordinator. Needs to get a clock manager, a game, somebody who can be like, "Hey, Billy, call a timeout here. Hey, Billy, go for it on 4th and 1 right from the opponent's 17-yard line." You know, like, because I think it's just some of those in-game issues that have really haunted him. Because the rest of it, I feel like he does know how to run an organization. I just feel like he needs some help actually coaching the games.
Yep. Now, you wrote about this Alabama-Vandy game for CBS Sports, And I thought you sort of put it out there perfectly. Alabama gave Vandy a little bit of their own medicine from last year. Possessed the ball for half of the fourth quarter, 36 minutes of possession time to 24 for Vandy. Kept Diego Pavia off the field. Had two nice red zone turnovers from Diego Pavia, a pick and a fumble. They played a very clean game, sound game plan from Kane Womack, their defensive coordinator. And I will say this, and I want your opinion on it. When I look at passing offenses around the country and where they're at after week six, that Alabama passing offense with Ty Simpson is at or near the top.
Yeah, it's finally looking what I thought it might. Obviously, that week one loss at Florida State, it remains one of the most confusing outcomes to really reconcile because of what we've seen of Florida State since then, and then because of what we've seen from Alabama since then. It almost feels like if they played again tomorrow on a neutral field, Alabama would win by 17 points, but it was the exact opposite in week one. But yeah, I mean, Alabama is looking like a well-oiled machine offensively. Ty Simpson is in total command of that offense. He's making the right decisions. He's hitting guys in stride. And then, you know, the playmakers that they have are next level. Yeah. I mean, Bernard, and then obviously Ryan Williams, and then Isaiah Horton.
Glavis, yeah, a decent tight end, too.
He is. So, and then, I mean, Jam Miller finally got going, ran for, I believe, 136 yards in that game. So that offense is clicking. I mean, you look at a box score and you're like, oh, well, whatever. They 400 and whatever yards they ended up with. But when you play a game control, clock control sort of style, it's really more about your yards per play and staying ahead of the sticks and what you do on third downs as it is the total number of yards that you amass. And I thought from that standpoint, it was about as efficient of an offensive game as you really could have asked for from Alabama, because they kept Pavia on the sideline. And then the defense, I still don't think it's elite.
Right.
But you don't have to be elite if you come up with big turnovers. And that's what they did. So, you know, the Alabama team, I'm open to the idea that they could be coming around and that, you know, but the issue is their schedule is still brutal. I mean, it's the same for everybody in the SEC for the most part. This October, early November stretch, it's a meat grinder.
Next five games are brutal for them.
Yeah. No doubt. So do they have the toughness to get through all that? I don't know, but like I certainly like what I've seen.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I adore the Caden Proctor package. They threw him the ball last game, and they ran him on a fourth. It was a third or fourth and short in this
game. Yeah.
You
know what's going to happen. They're going to get too cute with that at some point, though, and it's going to – I mean,
he's going to fumble it.
They're going to go back to that well one too many times. But it is fun. I do enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, final thing. I brought this up off the top of the show, and I don't know if Connor had seen it, but did you see how Kansas State lost this past weekend?
So they got the long field goal kicked on them, and then they got in position for one and missed it, right?
No. So this is what happened. It was 32-31. Kansas State, Avery Johnson throws a beautiful ball down the sideline to his wide receiver. The Baylor defender rips his helmet off, but the Kansas State receiver has just all field in front of him, about 20 yards left. He runs it into the end zone, but as you know, you cannot advance the ball with your helmet ripped off. So they kick a field goal, go up 34-32. Baylor comes down, kicks a bomb of a field goal, and wins 35-34 as time expires. And it brought to my attention that rule. Do we need to sort of tweak that rule to a certain extent? I understand player safety, but I don't know. I brought up the idea of, you know, how we do in the NBA, like when somebody's
clear
on a fast break,
foul.
Clear path foul, you either put it at the one or just award them the touchdown, because it was going to be a touchdown had his helmet not gotten ripped off.
Okay, this, I mean, I all the sympathy in the world to Kansas State, because I watched like the last minute and a half, but I missed what preceded it. So that's actually crazy. That seems like such a bizarre, unreplicable circumstance.
I guess, but if it does happen, like, I don't know. That could be used as a bit of a – I know it's hard to rip somebody's helmet off, but if you rip somebody's helmet off in the open field, they can't go run for a touchdown at that point.
What if you have enough leverage in terms of, the, you know, to rip their helmet off, like, surely you should be able to actually tackle them, right? Like, I don't know. Like, that's such a strange – circumstance. I mean, I guess in that situation, The only thing you could do would be to put the call in the hands of the officials and say, use your judgment here. And right. Like, if you felt like it's a, as you said, you know, kind of like open pass foul, yeah, then give them a 2-point conversion. It's, you know, right. Like something like that. I don't know. That's, I literally watched the last two possessions of that game, but I missed that because it was a stupid ESPN Plus game, and I had to find the other remote.
But it feels then, like know, a whatever. Game should not be ended like that. Like somebody's chances to win a ball game, a helmet being taken off should not end your chances to win or cost you. Like that.
Well, it's also just so fitting though of Kansas State's season. Yeah. I mean, they've lost 4 games by 6 points or less this year. Including a couple that were by a field goal. So, it's brutal. I mean, yeah, I tend to agree though. Because if the player was able to run unencumbered into the end zone, there was no risk to his health, right? Like that's the whole point of the rule, is to mitigate, what could be a serious head injury. But in this situation, if there's no risk of that, you know, play on. That's what I would say, play on.
And final thing, we have about a minute here, but Florida State not near what we thought after that Alabama game. I think you sort of mentioned that when we were talking about Alabama. And I know they made this game look good. And for the bettors out there, shout out to Mike Norvell for kicking a field goal early and trying to get the onside kick. Save the -4. But Florida State's they're better. I don't know if they're back like we thought after week one.
No, that's exactly it. Yeah, they I think what it was is Miami's speed. It really exposed Florida State. You think about like Malachi Toney and CJ Daniels. These receivers for Miami just kind of torched Florida State, because down to down, Miami was okay, but it was really the explosives that killed FSU. So I don't know. Like I didn't really know what to make of that performance from Florida State. To me, the thing that keeps killing them is the turnovers. And that's part of the yep. package with Thomas Castellanos. He's more electric. He's more dynamic than DJ Uiagalelei for sure. So like you upgraded your offense in that respect, but then you know, it's kind of like Tennessee and Joey Aguilar. Like you just know you're going to get some of the turnovers that come with it. And I think that's been the thing that's killed Florida State these last 2 weeks. Cause you know, their offense is good enough. It's just, you gotta hold on to the football, and that's, the turnovers have absolutely crippled them and made it to a point where it's like, who is actually going to play against Miami in the ACC championship game? Yeah. That is going to be a weird, wonky race. And I mean, you could end up seeing a 3-loss team in that ACC title game.
Georgia Tech? Anybody?
Maybe. If they can hang on. Yeah, if they can hang on.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, David, I'll let you roll, man. I appreciate it.
Okay, man. Sounds good.
We'll talk to David again on Wednesday, but he is from CBS Sports, covering college basketball and college football, and he is a role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN. He joins me Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then he does the whole show there with Jeffrey Wright and company on Thursdays. Now, we need to take a trip around the National Football League, and there's a lot to get to next, so make sure you stick around for that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Back into the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's time to take a trip around the National Football League. Connor, hit it. Okay, so shout out to the Patriots for getting that win last night on Sunday Night Football over the Buffalo Bills. When we talked to Parker Fleming on Friday, who's a Bills fan who was there, I'm sure he won't be all that happy, but I thought Drake May was phenomenal last night. That little flick there on that final drive when he was going down to the ground was great. And I'm telling you, I can count on one hand how many quarterbacks can make that throw from, what was it, 32 yards out to Stephon Diggs rolling right there on the sideline with a safety converging and a cornerback trailing. That was, I mean, Drake May lived up to the hype last night, but that's not what I want to talk about with the Patriots today. Today, it was announced, or at least reported on, that the North Carolina football staff has been directed by Bill Belichick not to post or repost anything related to the Patriots. So there were no posts about what Drake May did last night. I mean, the level of pettiness is ridiculous. Let it go, Bill. They let go of you because of how you drafted, what your team was doing, how you operated in the post-Tom Brady era. And we're seeing it now in college football with North Carolina. You got your brains beat in by a Clemson team that's clearly not very good this past weekend. You dropped it 2-4. Like, I let it go, man. This pettiness does not look good with you. And maybe it would look a little different if you didn't have your 24-year-old girlfriend behind the scenes, or fiance, calling all the shots for you. But a quarterback that came from North Carolina plays for the Patriots, and you told the staff they can't post about him and boast about him. That's bad for your program, and it looks bad on you. It's embarrassing.
So after this story came out, guess what all of the sudden hit Carolina football's Twitter feed?
A Drake May thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it did. Of course it did. Because the story forced their hand. Because it's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. But let's go ahead and get to the second story today. Oh, my gosh. With the San Francisco 49ers, one, I think it's amazing what they've done so far this year. Like, it's just, I don't know how they're sitting there at 4-1 with all of the injuries that have happened to them at this point in the season. I think you give a tip of the cap to Kyle Shanahan for being able to handle business up to this point. But it looks like George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk will be returning in the next 3 weeks. That's the latest report I have read. So it looks like the 49ers are going to get reinforcements, and they could be very, very scary down the stretch of the season, especially in the NFC playoff picture, contending for an NFC championship game. We have no more undefeateds, guys. None. Zero. Zilch. For the first time since 2014, no one is perfect after week five. The 72 Miami Dolphins live to fight another year, as everyone always says. But the league of parity strikes again. That's just what it is. Bills go down to a good, capable team in the New England Patriots and the Eagles. Good, capable team. And the Denver Broncos just couldn't quite get over the hump when it mattered. I thought they did a little bit better offensively, opened it up, but it just wasn't quite what it needed to be. What did surprise me is both teams that were undefeated ended up losing at home. That did take me for a bit of a surprise, but hey, everybody's got a loss. May the best man win by the end of the season. Oh, gosh. I just don't know what to do with their offense right now. They played a really good defense yesterday in the Denver Broncos, and just they're still playing conservatively, but when they need to open it up, they can mount a comeback. But when you're playing a good enough defense, they can stop you when it matters, and the Broncos did that yesterday. So I just need them to open it up and play up to their ability. And also, did you see on the Hail Mary yesterday what Devontae Smith right in the perfect spot to go catch it in the jump ball situation? And A.J. Brown wrapped his hands around his face mask on accident trying to go catch the ball for himself. Played perfect defense.
Have you also seen the zoomed out version? Jalen Hurts was sprinting toward the end zone getting ready for a rebound. He was, if you watch the replay,
what a psycho.
When the ball hit the ground, Jalen Hurts is like at the goal line.
What a psycho.
I do want to ask you, what is your thought on whether or not A.J. Brown slowed down?
He slowed down.
So it's no doubt. Do you put the blame on him, or yes, do you think it was an overthrow?
Yes. Now, listen, I can sit here and say, well, there's a built-in excuse for A.J. Brown because a lot of those throws have been errant so far this year. So he didn't think he was getting the ball, and they haven't pushed the ball downfield very much all this year, so maybe he didn't think he was getting the ball. But you have to run every route like you're getting the ball, because you probably will. You're A.J. Brown at some point. But he slowed down pretty drastically once he came out of that cut and beat the safety. It's on him. Jalen Hurts threw that ball right where it needed to be put, floated it up there for him to run under it. A.J., for all the things you said, you got to be locked in. Also for the Eagles, worth mentioning, Saquon Barkley has a knee injury and did not practice today. So they play on Thursday Night Football against the Giants. So I don't know if they're going to give it a go. I think they keep that prized possession on the bench till he gets fully healthy and fully cleared. 1-4.
Got blasted.
Got killed. Like, it wasn't even close. I couldn't be more down on the Ravens than I am right now. And maybe this is the time to buy stock. Who knows? Because once Lamar comes back, they'll probably win a few games. But the Texans, whose offense has been awful, hung 44 on the Ravens en route to a 44-10 victory over Cooper Rush. I get that part of it. But listen, a lot of the reason that I liked the Ravens in the preseason, we know the offense can be dynamic when Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson are out there together. I get that part of it. But I thought the defense would take a step in the right direction. They brought in Jaire Alexander. They drafted Malachi Starks out of Georgia to shore up a secondary that was clearly their weak link. And somehow they've gotten worse. They're bottom five in the National Football League in passing defense, passing yards allowed per game. Fix it. Or this is just a completely lost season and another year that you've mismanaged your defense enough to not really give a team that is as dynamic as possible on offense a chance to win a Super Bowl. It's tough to watch. But what I did see, according to FanDuel Sportsbook, you know who the favorite in the AFC North still is? The Ravens are still the favorite in the AFC North at -105. Now, granted, before the season, it was like -320, -400. But -105, they're still the favorite to win the AFC North. I don't believe in that, though. I think they've built themselves and dug themselves too much of a hole. And I don't even know if Lamar Jackson is going to be able to come back for another couple of weeks. This is a hamstring injury that has a high risk of re-injury and re-aggravation. And if Lamar's not on the field, you're guaranteeing you're going to lose games. So you got to be careful, but at the same time, you have to dig yourself out of this hole, and that requires Lamar Jackson. They're in a tough predicament right now, and I want to see how John Harbaugh and that organization manages it going forward. All right, now Small Talk is next, and you're listening to the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services. It's a reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, there's a couple of stories. One story that I want to discuss a little heavier out of the world of the National Football League. I thought the craziest thing that we would have seen this past week in the NFL was Mac Jones before the 49ers defeated the Rams 26-23 on Thursday Night Football. He saw a dead body at their hotel. He saw a dead body. That morning at the team hotel in Marina Del Rey, Jones told teammates he was on his balcony when he looked out of the water and saw a floating dead body. Someone called the police. 49ers were loading buses to the stadium while the coroner's van pulled into the marina. So I thought that would be the weirdest thing. But this Mark Sanchez story absolutely takes the cake. So Mark Sanchez, it was being reported early on Sunday morning. Or was it Saturday or Sunday morning, Connor? I need to get the timeline right. I believe it was Sunday morning.
I don't remember when I saw it for the first time.
But it was being reported on one of those mornings that he was stabbed, and he was the victim of a stabbing. But it turns out he was not the victim, but the aggressor. He has been taken in a class 5 felony, aggravated assault. He was arrested. He's been released. He's been bonded out at this point. But he was walking home from his dinner or the bar, seemed to be intoxicated.
He was hammered.
And the grease truck, there was a grease truck driver. Who ultimately stabbed him, Perry Toll, who's 69 years old. But apparently Sanchez picked a fight with him in an alleyway in Indianapolis before he was supposed to call the Indianapolis Colts Las Vegas Raiders game at 12:30 a.m. on Saturday. And a lawsuit's now been brought against Mark Sanchez. He left this poor grease truck driver, 69 years of age, completely disfigured. He stabbed him through the cheek, and he got to his tongue. Once he, turned the knife around on the grease truck driver, but he was stabbed 2 or 3 times apparently, in this clash. But Toll apparently suffered significant injuries to the head, jaw, and neck in the fight. That saw Mark Sanchez also body slam him to the ground. I mean, what in God's name happened? I mean, you were just that drunk that you picked a fight with a grease truck driver. There were some thoughts that a food delivery service man just turned around and tried to rob him. That was like the original thought. But apparently Mark Sanchez was the forefront main aggressor in this situation. And I mean, based on everything that has been reported by the police and thrown out there in police reports, there's no way to get around this. There's also,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Some footage of him walking back to the hotel with stab wounds. I mean, this is such a bizarre story, and I don't understand what was going through Mark Sanchez's mind at the time. I know when you get drunk, you know, your inhibitions go down and you do stupid things. But stupid things is usually, I don't know, peeing in the street. I have no idea. Something like that. It's not going and attacking a grease truck driver in an alleyway at 12:30 at night. It's absolutely insane. I can't understand this situation, but Mark Sanchez did what he did.
Have you seen the photos of the driver?
He got absolutely.
It's awful.
He Mark Sanchez nearly beat him to death.
He should be in jail.
Yes.
Go to jail.
I
And as John Martin tweeted, that sound that you hear in the distance is all of the NFL media who was clutching their pearls, deleting all of their tweets about how great of a guy Mark Sanchez is before any of the details came out.
And then you had
bunch of dummies
on CBS on their pregame show, like, opened it up by making it seem like Mark
Foolish.
Sanchez was a victim of a stabbing.
No, he was the assailant.
He was the assailant, and the guy was fighting for his life, so he stabbed him. Only one of them, to my knowledge, ended up in the hospital shortly thereafter. Mark Sanchez, I think, went later to go take care of it. But Perry Toll, I believe, is still in the hospital with severe, severe injuries.
Just an insane story.
I mean, of all people, Mark Sanchez. I had no thought in my mind. And I don't know what started this. And if there was no, like, start, what made Mark Sanchez, besides the liquor, decide to just pick out a fight with a 69-year-old grease truck driver just trying to do his job at night after late night shifts picking up the grease from these restaurants?
Can you imagine the thought process that went through that guy's head? Like, is that Mark Sanchez?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what is going on?
Like, what the hell?
I need more information.
Did he say something about the butt fumble?
Yeah, I have no. Yeah, that stab a guy because he talked about the butt fumble. When we hear about it constantly, when Mark Sanchez's name comes up. But this is wild. It's absolutely wild. All right, now we need to go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, Harold Grader will join the show. Then we'll get you off to Grizzlies Pistons. First preseason game. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.